Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Enigma Fishing, Cast, Catch, Repeat. Visit Anderson, South Carolina, home of beautiful Lake Hartwell. Phoenix Boats, experience the difference. And by the Bass Anglers Sportsman Society. Now here's lifetime BASS member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour, as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the BassPro.com Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Carhartt Bassmaster College Series presented by Bass Pro Shops and the tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a Junior Bassmaster Championship, High School National Championship, College National Championship, and the college event leading to the Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information about how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com and click on the Nation tab. Well, I've been talking about beautiful Lake Hartwell for a couple of years now and finally got to experience it from the water. And man, what a place. The BassPro.com Eastern Open was held there this week, and I competed in the co-angler side, and man, that lake is full of fish. There were a ton of schooling spots caught, and those things fight like a kid on a schoolyard who has had his lunch money stolen. And what a great job Anderson does putting on the event. So many volunteers, plus the job Neil Paul does, making everyone feel welcome and taken care of. I especially like the shuttle service that they were running to and from the lots. Now, I fished day one with Justin Hamner out of Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and man, can that guy run a jerkbait. He finished 23rd to pick up a nice check. He had engine issues, but Hamner never spun out, just caught him around Green Pond Landing. Day two, I was paired with former FLW Tour Pro Joel Willert, another young guy from Minnesota and a vet of two tours in Iraq. Joel also finished in the money at 31st and showed great versatility. I would not be surprised at all to see both of these guys on the Elite Tour next year. Now, Patrick Walters led the Pro Division after 2 days, and we will have the winner joining us on the show next week. Coming up on today's show, Scott Morris will join us with an update on the Aaron Martins Benefit Tournament. Then we're going to do a couple of Winning Ways radio segments with Chris Johnston of his win at the St. Lawrence River and Brandon Polinick from his win at Champlain. So grab a cup of coffee and jump on board as we pull this show away from the dock.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And, you know, we have been talking now for several weeks about the Aaron Martins, speaking of Phoenix Boats, the Aaron Martins online benefit tournament that is going to take place. And it is coming up in October. It'll be October 3rd through the 18th. So basically, you've got 15 days, you got 2 weeks, two full weeks to fish this tournament. Tons of great prizes. Also, an opportunity to, we've talked to many of the anglers that are involved in the angler auction, to fish with a pro auction. You can even fish with Mark Zona, who if he wanted to be, he'd be out there fishing competitively because he's that good a fisherman, and you'll have a great time with that one as well. But let's not lose sight of the tournament itself, the Aaron Martins Benefit Tournament. And joining us now from ConnectScale to talk about that is Scott Morris. Scott, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Tom, I'm great. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about this benefit for Aaron.
Well, let's get into it a little bit here, because this is something that is going to be really, I think a great opportunity for a lot of people to not only win some prizes, but first and foremost, we're raising money for Aaron Martins. And I don't think people realize these professional anglers, it's not like they have a regular, you know, like company insurance, medical insurance and so on. I'm sure they have some sort of medical insurance, but there's a lot of expenses that they incur. Two surgeries, battling brain cancer. This is a great guy here. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, one of the best anglers ever. But, you know, even Aaron Martins needs help financially, and this is a great way to help.
Yeah, and he's a very humble person, and, you know, he wouldn't tell everyone about, you know, really his need. And we're just trying to do something for Aaron. I mean, you know, he's an innovator in the sport, and everybody really, if you have a piece of tackle somewhere in your tackle box, it probably has to do with something with Aaron's influence going all the way back for several years. And what we've done, there's kind of two pieces to this process, Tom. The first piece is the Aaron Martins tournament, and it's $50. We're giving away $40,000 of cash and prizes. We're paying down 177 places, which is phenomenal. And of that $50 entry fee, 100% of those proceeds, Tom, goes to Aaron. And like you said, it's a two-week deal. It's the best five fish. It's actually a catch photo release tournament. And what you're going to do is you're going to go register for the tournament at amarkcharitytournament.com register there. And you download our app. And if you catch, like, let's say, for example, Tom, if you're on Gunnersville fishing a frog with another tournament, mm-hmm. and you catch a fish, you can actually fish that tournament in our tournament also. So we have a lot of people fishing, two and three tournaments, actually trying to get that 2 week window in to be able to fish Aaron's. And if you catch like 60 fish, our software will cull it down to your five longest fish. So, we're really excited about this, and it's a home run. It's a home run. Everything's going to Aaron, and we're just really excited about it.
So, for example, I joined a tournament. I'm going to be in the tournament. October 3rd, the first day of the tournament, is the annual Tim's Ford Bass Classic, which I've fished in with you a number of years. You and I have pulled a decent amount of money out of that tournament over the years. But in that tournament, any fish that I catch in that tournament, I would go ahead and record. And it's simple, right? I mean, to use the app, I think some people are a little bit, their mind is blown by this. How can you do an online tournament? But it's pretty simple, right? I'm gonna put the fish on my Phoenix Boats bump board. I'm gonna take a picture of the fish, and then I'm gonna simply record that to the app that's already set up with. I happen to have a Kinect scale, which I used extensively this past Saturday, I'll have you know, and it's a fantastic scale. But you don't necessarily have to have a scale, because you guys have this tournament program that will handle all of this stuff with simply the video of the fish. The picture of the fish, and then upload that picture.
That's right. All you do is take the fish. I mean, you know, there's a criteria on how to measure the fish. It's in the rules, and then you just snap a photo of it and you upload it to our software. So if you catch a 10-inch bass, that still counts. If you catch a 25-inch bass, which is a hog, that counts. So mm-hmm. There's no minimum length. There's no maximum length. It's just your longest five. And we take all that information, and we can look at it, and we can judge it. And then at the end of the day, somebody's going to be walking away with a pretty fat check.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's really cool about this thing as well. Now, the software, the $50, as you say, that's the entry for the tournament. Does not include the software, right? You do have to join the Kinect Scale League, basically, to participate?
No, you don't. No,
oh, you don't?
To download the app is free. It's free. So everything is free. So we do have a Kinect Fishing League membership program, but that is not in this it's not a criteria prerequisite to join this tournament. Everything is free. So we Kinect Scale and Kinect Outdoors, we're donating our app, and we're donating our time to Aaron.
Wow, that is fantastic. And it doesn't have to be from one particular body of water. If you happen to live near a big, a big bass body of water, you might want to go over there and spend a little bit of time. If it's Gunnersville or Chickamauga or out west, you folks that live out by Clear Lake and those kind of places, it wouldn't be a bad place to go. And the fish can come from multiple bodies of water, right? I caught one at Gunnersville. I caught one over here. I caught one over there. It's going to be the best five fish you catch during that two-week period. And you don't have to be in a tournament. This is a tournament, whether you're out fun fishing or whatever you're doing.
Absolutely. I was talking to, I was this past weekend, I was at Kentucky Lake for the college big bass tournament mm-hmm. there. And I was talking to a college. There's a college, and I forget their names. They won the event, but they were out of Michigan. Mm-hmm. So, I told them, I said, guys, this would be the time to end their St. Martin's tournament, because you guys can catch those smallmouth up there and could win this thing. So it doesn't matter. You could be in Michigan, or you can be in Grandma's farm pond in Louisiana. It still all counts.
Well, in Michigan, you catch an 18-inch smallmouth. He's liable to weigh 5.5 pounds. In Tennessee, you catch an 18-inch smallmouth. He's liable to weigh 3.5 pounds. I mean, that's the one thing about it. This is based on length, not necessarily weight. So if you get one that's got, a nice old belly on it, that necessarily doesn't, help you as much as having a fish that's got some length on it. Like some of the ones that I've been seeing lately are are kind of long and skinny. I mean, I had an 18-inch bass last week that only weighed 3 pounds. I thought for sure it was going to be 4 pounds, and it was like 3.25 pounds on my Connect Scale scale. And I was like, man, this is a skinny fish. But in an event like this, he's worth 18 inches.
That's right. All the inches count. You're exactly right, buddy.
Man, I'll tell you what. It's good stuff. And then talk for a minute, too, about the auction, because this is phenomenal. I can't believe the names, the people that have stepped up from all of the different leagues and media types and everything else that have stepped up to offer themselves in a day on the lake with the people like Gerald Swindle and Mark Zona, and the list just goes on and on and on. And how do people get involved? Even if they're not fishing a tournament, how can they get involved in the auction?
Right. So there's going to be a day on the lake auction, Tom, that's going simultaneously in conjunction with our tournament. So in other words, a day on the lake is going to be an auction and open up bidding. The bidding occurs from October the 3rd through October 18th. You've got 15 days to bid. Now, I've had people tell me, and I know you have too, Tom, in the past, I would give anything to fish with Kevin Van Dam. Well, you know what, guys? Here's your opportunity, because Kevin Van Dam is taking two people on an excursion with him. And we actually haven't posted the video yet, but we're going to post it. Well, it should be on the site Saturday. But,
yeah.
You know, he talks about how this is going to be a trip of a lifetime.
Yeah.
So Kevin Van Dam is donating a day on the lake. Mark Zona is donating a day on the lake.
Yeah.
Jacob Wheeler is donating a day on the lake. Gerald Swindle is donating a day on the lake. James Watson is donating a day on the lake. Hank Cherry is donating a day on the lake.
Yeah.
Bernie Schultz is donating a day on the lake. We've got several people.
Yeah.
Several people. Randy Howe, I mean, we've got a bunch. They've all stepped up to the plate, and all, again, 100% of these proceeds goes to Aaron. So if you guys want to go out there and, you know, I would think it would be more, you know, if I was going to go out there, it'd be more of a learning thing for me. See how these guys really do stuff.
Right.
Or it could be a granddad taking his kid and they just want to catch fish.
Yeah. Trip of a lifetime.
There's just all kinds of opportunities.
Good stuff right there. Scott Morris has been our guest. Just go to amartcharitytournament.com. Sign up. Sign up today for the tournament, amartcharitytournament.com. Thanks, Scott.
Okay, guys. See you.
Coming up next is the first of a couple of Winning Ways segments. Chris Johnston got it done at the St. Lawrence River, and we'll have our conversation with him next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Yeah, welcome back. Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now a little winner circle action, winning ways action. We're going back to Lake Ontario. We're going back to the St. Lawrence River, and we're going back to Chris Johnston. This was fantastic. We had a great time talking to Chris. Take a listen.
Chris, welcome to the winner circle, my friend.
I'm glad to be here. Appreciate you having me, buddy.
Well, I tell you what, it is good to talk to you. You've been sniffing around this thing, 18th tournament with bass, and you've been all over the top 10, top 5. You were second there last year, and now you get the win. And, man, it was just one big one after another. Just talk a little bit about the way the week went for you and how you were able to kind of manage your fish throughout the week.
Well, that was kind of the thing. I've been burned before on the third day, just kind of running out of fish, not necessarily running out of the St. Lawrence, but the fish get educated, I find, so I was really trying to save spots for those third and fourth days, and I found a couple good spots in the river, and I knew one of them was going to be crowded, so I decided I'm going to start there. There's some big fish there, and get what I can with the other boats, and then kind of just go out in the lake and fill what I needed, and that worked really well for the first day. Caught a couple big ones. The second day I got two good ones, and then it fizzled out. Now, and just each day I went out in the lake and got what I needed. And then I kind of practiced out there and hit some secondary stuff, still trying to upgrade, but I didn't really lean on any of my good stuff. And so that was it. I was still in second. I was in second each day after Mueller. And to be honest, I thought he'd fall off a bit, maybe on the second or third day for sure. And I thought maybe he got a little lucky the first day, got an 8-pounder and weighed 27, but turns out he was on a really sweet spot. So he was on him good and had me a little worried going into day three, so I tried to catch as much as I could. and he still ended up catching another 25, and I was down 2 pounds going in the final day, and the weather forecast was going to change though, and as much as it is a pain going out to fish in big water, kind of thinking before we went out, thinking my best chance to probably beat him is if it blows, because it'll change his conditions, and if it was calm, he'd probably catch him again. So, sure enough, we went out there in 6-8 footers, and I was able to catch my fish, and he just couldn't get his to go.
I got to tell you, I grew up on that lake, right? And it was bringing back some bad feelings for me, because, I mean, I remember back in the late 80s fishing there when, you know, when 17 and a half, 18 foot was a big boat. We didn't have 21 footers back then. And I remember going out to the Galoo Islands and getting caught out there and some of that stuff. And it was, I said, never again. And, you know, the video of watching you bob up and down in between those waves, Mueller too, really, it was a little spooky. I mean, did it ever bother you? Were you ever like, all right, this is a little bit out of control?
No, to be honest, it never crossed my mind. I was just, I literally had my eyes focused on my graph, and my main thing was just trying to hold on the spot, because there wasn't really drifts. They were very spot-oriented, just certain rock piles. So if you drifted over it, you'd be over it in 30 seconds and then done. So I was really trying to just hold. And, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be honest. So I was able to hold on my spot, so that was good, and I was able to catch him that way.
Tell me about how your cameraman felt about it, because, I mean, he might have been a little bit of green around the gills, a little bit running out there.
Yeah, but now Rennie, he asked me, you got any gravel? Very good. I don't. He's a good guy. He's ripped me all 3 days, and I felt bad. What's really I felt bad for him was the way I was fishing. It was so windy. I'd pull up on a spot. He'd get the camera out. I'd try and hold for 3 or 4 minutes. He'd just start rolling. I'm like, okay, we got another drift. So he had to pack it up. So he'd only get the camera for like 2 minutes. So I felt bad, and then he was hurting pretty bad. He was hard to get the camera out of the bag. And then about an hour later, I'm like, you feel any better? You look a little better. And he's like, yeah, I feel a little better now. I got sick. And I didn't even know he was, because it was so windy and loud. And he was chumming off the back of the boat for me. And then I find out later, it wasn't just one thing. No, no, it was like 4 or 5 times. He said 3 of the big ones I caught, he was getting sick, had to pick up the camera and start rolling. So he did a good job.
So you were on a yak pattern, basically, is what you're telling me. I mean, he's yakking and you're catching him. So you just need to make sure you got a cameraman that doesn't have a strong stomach.
I didn't even know it, but yeah, it turns out when I was with the big one, he was chumming.
That's pretty good stuff. Chris Johnson with us coming off of his win at the St. Lawrence River. And, you know, it was really exciting to see. And you talked about Mueller, and he just hung with you. You guys just kind of pulled away from the field. The difference between first and 10th was amazing. Not that 75 pounds, you know, isn't real good as well. But talk to me about that 7-13. Did you get a chance to eyeball Mueller's hog that he got, that big 7-13 fish?
I saw it from afar, and that's a monster. I've fished smallmouth a lot of years, and I've never caught one that big. So that's definitely a fish for a lifetime.
Yeah, it was 7 ounces off of the state record. I mean, I don't know if you knew that at the time, but you know that he was that close to setting a state record. I mean, if it's a month earlier, that might be a state record fish.
Well, that's what you're saying. If it was pre-spawning, it would have been 8.5 all day.
Man, that's amazing stuff. All right, so you get the victory there, hoisting the blue trophy. It's not like you haven't won a lot of tournaments in your time, but you know, you get your first blue trophy with Bass. Just talk about what that means to you, and just how the chatter was amongst the Canadian crew. You, Corey, I imagine everybody in the family are pretty fired up about that.
Oh, it was crazy. It was exciting. It was also like a huge relief for me. I've been so close a couple times, and used to hoist that trophy. I finally got it done. And the amount of support and texts and even media from the Canadian point of view that jumped all over it, we're publishing it, and never even talked about fishing. So that's really neat to see, to put fishing on the map in Canada. So, I couldn't ask for anything better, that's for sure.
Well, you, look.
On my home lake.
Yeah, it's good thing that you won that one, because if you win here at Champlain, they'll ignore you because they got a little hockey tournament that's starting, right? So, you know, last week it was all about Chris Johnston, but now they're like, forget about it, man. We got hockey. They're not going to care what you guys do out there.
Yeah, August 1st, NHL starts back up. I'll be old news, that's for sure.
Yeah, that is good stuff. Now, I got to be totally honest with you. I know that you and your brother are pretty competitive with each other. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And the full disclosure, if you're going to hang up the phone on me, you can hang up the phone on me. But I had both of you on my fantasy team, as did, like, you know, half of the fantasy people that were playing along. I had both of you. But you're both in the same group this week. And I took Corey. And I'm just going to tell you, the reason I took your brother was because I figured he's so damn competitive that maybe he comes back and wins this one, you know what I mean? And you're like second or third.
It's not a bad call. He's been pretty quiet this week, and he wants to beat me bad. So
yeah,
I wouldn't put it past him. He's had a decent practice, so that's not a bad thing.
Yeah,
I put a lot of time into Ticonderoga about a day and a half. It really kind of bit me in the butt. I really wanted to find them, and like I said, I found that one spot. I put another day in trying to find another one. It never worked out, so I'm staying north. He's been practicing north for 3 days, so he's got a little head start on me.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the technique, because, you know, down here in the South, we like to punch with, like, you know, ounce and a half weight, you know, ounce weight and things like that. When you're drop shotting in, I don't know, 6-8 foot waves at that depth, how high a weight do you go to with your drop shot? Because I just can't imagine how you can feel anything with that thing or control it at all.
Believe it or not, I use a 3/8 ounce.
Wow.
So the heaviest I'll go is a half. And it gets down there quick enough. And I don't, like, some of my fish were suspended, and I don't like to go by, like, a missile down past their head. I like them to see it on the fall and follow it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I find you got a better feel with the bait with the lighter weight.
Yeah.
You can feel them pick it up better and stuff. And that's just a personal preference as well.
Now, the other thing is, while this is being aired, the guys, you're all out on the water now, okay? So it's not like you're giving away any kind of state secret here. But I noticed when they kind of showed the different lures and so on. Of course, everybody was drop shotting. I've never seen a tournament where it was so much. It was either Ned Rig or drop shot, and that's just the way it is when you guys go out there. But you rig yours a little bit differently. It looked like you had it almost like a swim bait, the way you put it on it. It didn't look like you had them nose rigged. Just talk about the different ways you'll rig your bait itself, because it looked like you were doing something a little bit different than what we normally see.
No, well, I have two different bait things, top and down. And one I would nose hook, one I would thread on, and I'd use a straight shank hook. But nothing kind of out of the norm. I do use a smaller drop shot hook than most people. Especially with the nose hooking, because I find the fish, when they get finicky, they can see the hook and they get a little shy. So a smaller hook definitely gets you more bites.
Now,
I do nose hook a lot.
Now, when you say small, what's small? I mean, 1/0 is tiny to me, but what is small for you? Because when you're catching 5 and 6 pounders, you know, you think you want a little bit of hook.
You know, and then that's kind of a misconception. That small hook gets in their head a little bit better. The big hook needs too much penetration to get in. So I use like a size 2 Aaron Martin's drop shot finesse hook from Gamagatsu.
Wow.
And once it gets in there, a lot of times you need pliers to get there, which is pretty cool.
Now, were you dropping, of course, you got the Garmin, you're looking at them on the live scope, you got all that good stuff going on. Were you dropping right down on them, or are you one that likes to kind of back off them a little bit and hit them from an angle?
If I can see them on my Panoptix or live scope, and I can get my bait in front of them before my boat gets on top of them, my odds went way up with catching.
Yeah. Well, that would make a lot of sense, you know, if you could do that. And that's been a beautiful thing. I mean, at Panoptix, the first time I saw it was right there at Champlain fishing with Sam George a couple of years ago, and it's mind-blowing to see that thing.
It's incredible. It's literally changed the game, the way you fish it. There used to be just you get on top of them, drop down. Now on literally looking, scanning, and looking 100 feet in each direction, finding fish, and then going over to that fish and trying to catch it. So it makes you so much more efficient.
Well, Chris, congratulations on the win. I mean, last year, Cobb went back-to-back. We had to have him on a couple of times. Hartman had to come on a couple of times. So I might be bugging you again. If you win, I got to reach out to you, man.
I hope so. We'll talk after Champlain.
Well, as it turned out, we did not call Chris Johnson after Champlain. We called Brandon Polinick because he got the win at Champlain.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Now, welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and our special Winning Ways segments. A couple of them here that we are doing for you coming off of this past summer's events. And it was at Lake Champlain where Brandon Polinick, 2017 Angler of the Year, he got it done in a big way, very consistent. He saved his best for last, however. Great to have him back on the series, and he got it done at Champlain. Here was my discussion with Brandon Polinick.
Brandon, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you. I'm feeling really good. Zero complaints right now.
That picture that you posted on your Instagram account, I assume that was moments after all the weigh-in stuff was done and everything. That was so telling, just to see the exhaustion. I don't know if it was part exhaustion, part prayer, part whatever it was. Thanks. But what a fantastic picture. What a great moment that was captured there.
Yeah, I got lucky with that one. After you win, pretty much every photo you take is like a stage type photo, right. Kind of like a grip and grin. You're holding the trophy, you're smiling, this angle, that angle, this product and all that stuff. But that photo, the guy that films all my YouTube series stuff, Kyle Vandiver, he was there with his camera, and that just, there happened to be a moment between when I was carrying the trophy from the stage over to some fans that were there on the side, and there was just that brief moment where I had set it down and I was just kind of leaning over the trophy, and it ended up being probably my favorite photo from that day, just because it showed so much raw emotion. That's what it actually looks like after you fish for 14 days straight.
Yeah, that's what you get. You got that feeling of exhaustion and elation out of it. And I'll be honest with you, to me, and we talked about this back when you returned to bass in the fall, it almost felt like if there ever was any question in your mind, any doubt in your mind, that moment when you had your fourth blue trophy now, that must have erased any question that you might have had that this was the right thing to do. Between all the ESPN coverage, national TV coverage, and everything else, and then to win the way you won, there must be a certain amount of satisfaction in your mind that, yeah, that was a decision that you made that was a good one.
Definitely. Yeah, you could say I was 99.9% positive that I was exactly where I needed to be, and that final day solidified it for me. 100%, I'm exactly where I need to be in this industry. And it wasn't the trophy itself, wasn't the money, it wasn't even actually the win that caused that. It was the feeling and the emotion that I had on that final day while I was fishing and while I was on stage. That's what truly solidified it for me. When I felt those things, I knew in my mind, like, this is where you're supposed to be doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah. And the type of fishing that you like to do, apparently, Brandon Polinick with us here. I had you on my fantasy team, not this week, but I did last week at the St. Lawrence, because when I heard that they had opened up the lake because you were going out of Clayton, kept thinking about was, Henderson Harbor's or Henderson Bay there is like an ATM machine for you. I just think of all the success that you've had down there, and I just expected that you would run, in that direction. But and then you go to Champlain, and obviously you've had your successes there. But what is behind your love of this kind of fishing and your proficiency for this type of fishing? Because, we think of Coeur d'Alene, is this something that happens out there in Idaho? Why is it that this is something that's so good for you, this type of fishing?
Yeah, I grew up around a lot of clear water fishing, a lot of clear glacier-fed bodies of water. And so I'm very comfortable with a spinning rod in my hand, light line, and a place especially like Champlain reminds me a lot of home because it has that largemouth, smallmouth mix. You've got, heavier vegetations up shallow, move out deeper. You've got big, deep, rocky flats and clean water and things like that. And so it's just something that I've grown up doing, and it's built a lot of confidence in. I feel like the equipment that I have is set up perfectly for it. And, you just combine all those things and I just feel comfortable out there. I had my electronics, staring at my Mega 360, going from boulder to boulder, following rock veins. Like, all of that stuff is just a way that I feel comfortable, and I'm confident that I'm going to be able to go out there and catch fish doing that.
Now, 18 of the fish that you weighed in came out of drop shot, but that's of the fish you weighed in. I mean, you were catching them like crazy. If you had to put a percentage on it, I mean, was it, you know, 98% of the fish you caught all came out of drop shot?
Oh, yeah. I mean, majority of the fish I weighed, majority of the fish I caught, and majority of the time that I spent out there fishing was with a drop shot, throwing an X Zone Finesse Slammer on a little number two drop shot hook and about a 12 to 15 inch leader, and then a 3/8 ounce DMC teardrop tungsten drop shot weight. And that was just my game plan for the whole week, was keep that in my hand majority of the time, chase big smallmouth around on some deep rocky flats, and use my time efficiently.
Mm-hmm. Now, in 2017, when you won the AOY, you could say that you basically won it going up that way. I mean, you were third at the St. Lawrence, you were third at Lake Champlain that year. Now you go, and you're going to make that trip to St. Clair. Canadian waters off limits, just U.S. waters. I'm hearing that Huron may be in the mix for you guys if you're nuts enough to want to run out there into the ocean. But confidence level now, as you're bouncing back from a tough tournament at Eufaula, as you start working your way over there to Detroit, how much in your mind do you think about where you're standing in AOY and how another really good finish is going to put you right there?
AOY is one of those things that is always in my mind, in the fact that I know it's something that I want to win, but it's not something that I let make my decisions on the water or change my decisions. I've always been the guy that doesn't look at the standings, doesn't look at points. I don't want to know, because I don't want it to alter my decision-making process. I want to go out there, do my job the best that I can every day, catch as much weight as I can every day. And then if that's enough at the end of the year, if I've done my job, then it'll all work out.
Yeah. That's what you said in 2017, that you didn't look at points until the very end. I mean, are we buying that? Is that it? You really don't look
at... I had no idea. Yeah. I knew I was leading. That's all. I knew... because you can't hide that. They give you a bonus check every week that you're leading.
Right, so, right.
No
what's
hiding
what's
that,
this but, for?
But I never knew what the point gap was.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I just told myself I had a 1-point lead.
Yeah.
And I had to go out there and do my job. And, the best way to not get beat is just beat everybody else.
Yeah. Now, and since you've been back, you look at the way things are right now shaping up in the AOY, and you see these names that are near the top, and with Jamie Hartman and Buddy Gross and Scott Canterbury and Matt Airy. These guys weren't around, when you were here last go around. Jamie was, but some of these are all new names, and does it give you a level of respect for what kind of sticks these guys are? I mean, these are some really, really good fishermen here.
Yeah, but like all of those names you mentioned, they're new on the Elite Series, but
they're not new.
Yeah. They are not new to professional fishing. I mean,
right.
Canterbury, Buddy Gross, like all those guys, Matt Airy, they've all won tour-level championships. I mean, those guys have been around, several of them longer than I've been fishing professionally.
Yeah,
they just weren't on the Elite Series before. So I already knew coming back that it's not like I was going to walk in and it was going to be easy peasy. Like,
yeah.
I was going to have to work just as hard, if not harder, than I did before to even have a shot.
I look at Buddy atop the Rookie of the Year standings. Every time I see that, I'm like, what? Really? I mean, what? Buddy Gross Rookie? What? Don't tell me. Give that to some kid coming out of college. Oh, I'm Buddy Gross Rookie of the Year. Exactly. Brandon Polinick with us, coming off of his win at Champlain. I got to talk about the 360 Mega Imaging, because, I mean, the rocks, the boulders were so important to you. To be able to see that stuff and, you know, just almost immediately be able to turn and drop on those fish. You're one of the best with the electronics. But that 360, I don't have it on my boat yet. I mean, I got hummingbirds, but I don't have that on my boat yet. And I'm waiting to get that done because it almost seems like you're fishing blind if you don't have it anymore.
100% true. And you nailed it there. I mean, it's not that you can't catch fish without it, but at the level that we compete, we want to use all the tools that give us the best opportunities to be the most efficient on the water. Right? Each of us have 8 hours on the water every day, and we want to make the most out of that 8 hours. And that's, for me, what the Mega 360 does is it allows me to know that every cast I make has potential to catch a fish. It's right on target, right where it needs to be. And that just gives you more opportunities at catching the right fish. And smallmouth fishing is no different, being able to go around on those deeper flats. You know, I was targeting a lot of 25 to 35 foot water, and I could roll up to those spots that I had marked during practice and see my waypoint, see the boulders or the rock piles that I was trying to target. And a lot of times I could actually even see the smallmouth and how they were positioned around those rocks. And that allowed me to position my boat and make the right presentation to those fish to be able to catch them as quickly as possible.
How do you tell the difference between that's a drum or that's a smallmouth, or do you really not know?
It can be difficult. A lot of times it'll be the size. Now, if they're up high enough off the bottom, you can decipher through the shadow because the mega imaging is so clear,
right,
that it'll actually draw out the shape of the fish. So you can tell the difference. You can see more of that hunchback look from a drum. But on your 2D traditional sonar, generally the smallmouth would be like a real hard yellow line, or depending on what color palette you use, but I use color palette 1, so they show up as like a real kind of just solid yellow line, and the drum would be just that like perfect drawn out arch, but they'd be a little bit thicker and fuzzier on the outsides of them. And that's how I was able to tell the difference.
Man, that's good stuff. Brandon Polinick, office win. Well, you head off now to St. Clair, as we said. You know, good luck over there. Everybody and her brother's going to have you on their fantasy team because that's your thing, again, when you get over there. And, you know, let's just see how – I'm looking forward to a really big fall as well. This is going to be really exciting, this fall swing down through the Southeast.
Yeah, thank you. I feel like it's August already, but we are only just getting started with this season. So it's going to be – it's going to be jam-packed and fun here real shortly.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Brandon Polinick has been our guest. Brandon, congratulations. And, hey, winners come on, you know, so maybe we talk again before the end of the season. Let's see.
I'm all about it. Thank you.
All right, man. Thank you. Brandon Polinick, what a stick there. Well, and what a pleasure it is to have him back in the Bassmaster Elite Series. And that guy's got more wins and more anglers of the year and a classic coming down the line at some point in time. All right, we'll grab our final break and come back and wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Welcome back to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
Final segment of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio, and as we idle this show back to the dock, let's take a look at some news and notes from around the pond. Marshall spots are available for regular season Elite Series events for just $99 per tournament, and as a part of the program, at every tournament, participants will enjoy an exclusive dinner and a meet and greet with all of the elite anglers, as well as receive official Bassmaster Marshall apparel and products from tournament sponsors. Visit Bassmaster.com/elite for Marshall registration. The 2020 BassPro.com open season is underway. Visit Bassmaster.com/opens for all the info you need to get registered for this series. It's the highest level a co-angler can fish and is a tremendous way to hone your skills, learn from the pros, and maybe even make a few bucks as you compete against other co-anglers. This year's pro field is better than ever, so grab a co-angler spot now, and due to the incredible high interest in the open series, the championship round of the opens will be broadcast on Bassmaster Live this season. There are 2 Central Open events left, and there are 2 Eastern Open events.
events left. Visit Bassmaster.com/sweepstakes for a chance to fish with a team Toyota Bassmaster Elite Pro. You get to choose from Brandon Lester, Matt Airy, or the G-Man, Gerald Swindle. You'll also win a trip to the 2021 Bassmaster Classic in Fort Worth, Texas, where you will enjoy the full VIP package. You'll get $2,700 spending cash to go with your accommodations and travel, plus a great fishing prize pack. The total value of this prize is over $21,000. Sign up today and every day at Bassmaster.com and click on Sweepstakes. And don't forget to sign up for Rapalot Fantasy Fishing at Bassmaster.com. Each week's winner will win $4,000 in cash and prizes, $4,500 if you are a member of Bass. And this year, over 190 places will win prizes at each event. And the grand prize is over $20,000 in cash and prizes. Just go to Bassmaster.com and click on Fantasy for rules and to get in today. And while you're at it, join our Bassmaster Radio group, where each event's winner will receive a rod and reel combo from Enigma, and everyone that finishes ahead of me is entered in a drawing for a prize package from visitanderson.com, Rapala, Missile Baits, and Phoenix Boats. Just search Bassmaster Radio under the Groups tab. Now, coming up next on the Elite Series, it's Lake Gunnersville next week out of Scottsboro, Alabama. That is a Wednesday through Saturday deal, and there will be public weigh-ins, so you can go check that out at Goose Pond Colony in Scottsboro, Alabama. Now, remember, if you missed any of this week's show, it's just a click away at Bassmaster.com/radio, or just hit the watch button and click on Bassmaster Radio. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy.